I'm pleased to welcome back the voice of the racers, Neil Bradley. Neil, thanks for being back.
Well, good to be here, Tracy.
I had hoped we'd be having a different conversation today, previewing the racers' postseason matchups, but instead we're here to talk about what was a very, very tough loss in the OVC Conference semifinals, 86-83, to the eventual champion, Eastern Kentucky.
To me, they lost it early on, though, giving up the backdoor layups. They didn't really adjust accordingly, and Eastern was able to get the lead up to double digits, keep it around 8 or 9 points. And it was just a night when the stops were tough to come by, and it was lost on the defensive end. They out-rebounded Eastern by 14. And it was lost with turnovers, 19 turnovers. But it's what Eastern does. Eastern's one of the top teams in the nation at turning other teams over and turning those into points. I mean, they rank in the top 10 in the nation in both of the categories. And that was one of the things that they wanted to do. After they started hitting the layups, they went through a streak where they made threes. And when you just take a look at 19 turnovers, you give up 58% to the other team. You have to scratch your head as to how in the heck were they in the ball game with a chance to tie it with 2 3 attempts in the last 5 seconds, they both missed, and go to overtime. And what they did, they drove it to the basket, they got to the free throw line, and took advantage of situations with those extra rebounds. But without that, I don't think they would have even had a chance to stay in the game. But they stayed in it. They would have had a chance. Dexter Fields had fouled out, and they were missing two players. So foul trouble probably was going to play a big role if it had gone to overtime. But I think the Racers gave a great account of themselves at the end of the game. You just have to consider that's a really young team. There wasn't a lot of experience. A combined 21 points from the tournament experience from Dexter Fields, Jeffrey Moss, C.J. Ford, 21 points in their careers of points. So to me, that was a big key. Eastern, a very experienced team, senior dominated, and that really showed.
Racer fans are, of course, accustomed to excellence. We expect to win. We expect to play in the postseason. But should we take consolation from the fact that Eastern then went on to defeat Belmont, and they're now going to represent the OVC in the NCAA tournament?
Yeah, and the way that they jumped on them, and I'm looking at Belmont that Friday night thinking, I'm not sure if we're going to be able to beat these guys because they played fabulously. And then the next night, Eastern Kentucky handled them. They jumped on them 17-2. Belmont later in the game was able to tie it, but Eastern went on an 8-0 run, and Belmont never recovered from that. You know, Eastern made big threes when they needed to, stopped Belmont enough in the first half to keep them slowed down. And as it turned out, the Racers played a better game against the Colonels than Belmont did. So it's just one of those things. I'd love to have our chances on a Saturday night when you get into that one to go to the NCAA tournament kind of game. But, yeah, I think fans should be pretty happy with that. And it's not locked in stone that this team is finished. I think there's a really good chance they'll play in a CIT or CBI kind of tournament. And I think we'll find out about that very soon.
I should tell our listeners, you actually said that if Belmont or Murray doesn't win this tournament, it's going to be the Colonels, and you turned out to be correct. What are they looking like seed-wise in the NCAA tournament, and is this a team that has the right components to pull an upset?
I think they do because they're senior-dominated, and you take a look at so many of the really good teams that get into that tournament from the elite conferences, and you know they have the guys that leave early. And they're underclassmen. And I think that's one advantage that Eastern Kentucky will have. They don't rebound well, but they do shoot it well. They don't turn it over. They don't beat themselves. So those are the things that will help them. I'm seeing a 14 seed at tops. I guess they could maybe S-curve to a 15, but I really think by the time the dust settles on who all gets in, you have to take a look at some of the other conferences. They're going to rank below Eastern Kentucky. I think they're going to get in probably with a 14 seed, and to me, that's going to give them a winnable game. You want to stay out of those top five or six teams. I don't like their matchup against Florida, Arizona, Kansas. Maybe Wichita State, I don't know, but those all look pretty good. You want to kind of stay out of the top ones, but you get down to the 12th, 13th, 14th ranked teams, you got a shot because they have some weaknesses.
And then Belmont will, of course, be heading to the NIT, and as always is the case with Belmont, Neil, if you're not used to the way they play, they can definitely beat a team or two in the NIT.
Yeah, they have a chance to do, I think, very well because you're to the NIT. And remember, there's 68 teams that are in the big dance, so there's a lot of teams that don't qualify for that. And what you get a lot of times is very talented teams, especially if they're senior laden, they don't want to be there. They don't care that they're in the NIT. They'll go through the motions and they'll play. Those are the teams that are vulnerable, and that's why you can win a few games. I saw that out of a racer team years ago. We played Bradley in the NIT, senior-dominated team, and they just really didn't seem interested until the closing minutes. It just they had their hearts set on the NCAA tournament, and when you get your dreams crushed, it's really difficult at times to emotionally recover. If Belmont can emotionally recover, I believe they can do some really good things. Just like you said, the style of play is going to give some teams a lot of trouble when they have a short prep time for them.
I think we can look back on the season with clear eyes and realize that all of the success Murray State had this year came a year early. This is a team, Neil, with one senior. Losing Dexter Fields, he was an important contributor to this team, but the future is so bright with what we've got coming back.
I think so, too. You get everybody back except for Dexter. Dexter's leadership will be missed. There's no way that they can instantly replace that leadership. There are some candidates that will fill that. I think T.J. Sapp, given his time with the team, he has a chance to do that. Even Cameron Payne, who will be a sophomore coming in. But you're going to get Justin Seymour, who will fill in Dexter in terms of his shooting skills. Good shooter. I think he'll bring a lot. I think from the standpoint of numbers, you'll get an instant replacement with Seymour. But in terms of leadership, there's where the void will lie, and that's what the team will have to fill at some point. I think they're going to have some really good talent. Jaquan Nobles, who they have signed, a kid out of Chicago, is doing some good things, went through a high ankle sprain, but I think he's back playing really well. He's going to be a good one. But they're getting some size. That's the one thing they really need is size depth. They also need an extra point guard. They need a kid that can come in for campaign, and you don't worry about it. Just go in there. I know we got everything covered. So those are some things that they're looking for on the recruiting trail.
Obviously, it's very, very early. We haven't even finished this season yet. But how do you think the Racers stack up against what you anticipate to be the other top couple of teams in the conference next year?
I think Southeast Missouri would be better maybe than people think. You know, they do lose Tyler Stone, but they have Jericus Bradley back. Those two young kids, Calvin and Cleveland, they look really good at the end of the season. So I think they'll actually be very solid. The head scratcher, I don't know about Austin Peay. I thought they'd be much better this year. So I'm not really sure what to think about them. So the Racers would definitely be the class of the division. There's no argument there. Then on the other side, Morehead State, they do lose Chad Postumus, but they return a wealth of talent. Rick Byrd is Rick Byrd. Belmont's Belmont. They're going to be at or near the top. Eastern sustained some heavy losses, so I expect them to struggle a little bit. But I think there'll be a lot of teams filling in with JUCO players, and what that means is there'll be someone who will surprise us because they'll get two or three really talented guys, and they'll end up being a really good team. But I don't see that right now. I think the conference will be better next year, but it's not going to be any dominant team that I can see, unless it's the Racers. They're going to be potentially dominant if they recruit well, and they still got to do that.
Another very successful season for the Murray State Racers, and it's been a lot of fun, as always, Neil, talking about it with you. Thanks so much for being on Sounds Good.
Glad to be here.